There is no time for zombie takeout. We must stop the 100-year-old Nazis.
I hate this fucking job. Hello and welcome to episode 458 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's movie, which is from 2021. Specifically, I believe it was, the 9th, so that would have been, I think, last Friday.
Yeah.
Carousel 2, the sequel to one of our favorite movies that we've ever reviewed.
We've managed to turn this into a trilogy of absurdist slasher films.
And fairly impromptu.
Yes.
Because, you know, even Lamageddon was kind of an impromptu. You really were pushing for it, so I'm like, okay. And then Killer Pinata was crowbarred in. And then this weekend I got my screener copy for Carousel 2, and yeah, that was kind of impromptu. Just a quick backstory on that. I supported, like I said, it was one of our favorites of all time. I think if we ranked, you know, all 12 years of movies, it would easily make top five for both of us. Right?
It's a tough one. I mean, there's Thanksgiving in there, too.
Oh, no. As much as I love Thanksgiving and I watch it every year, Carousel 2 is definitely above it. Or Carousel 1 is definitely above it. But
if we'd planned this, we probably would have had Jen back with us since she reviewed the first one.
I was thinking about that, but I can't really record three people in my current situation.
Oh. The other strange thing is it was exactly 50 episodes ago.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
The first one.
But anyway, I backed Carousel 2 on Kickstarter because the first one is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, I got my link to the screener copy, my reward for backing in on Kickstarter. It was Sunday. I figure if I get this to you fast enough, we can, you know, make a change in plans and review it this week as soon as it's possible. So I DM Steve Rudzinski, the director, asked if it was cool, you know, to give you the link, because it says even in the description on YouTube, do not share.
Right.
He very quickly, fortunately, got back to me and said, you know, thank you so much for actually asking, and said, yeah, for review purposes, you know, go ahead. And so here we are. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by that bird app. By any other name, it's still a fucking vampire.
And also brought to you by Frankenfuhrers. You know, they really should sell brats.
Yeah, it would make more sense.
Yeah. So we we have our hero or slash anti-hero from the first movie back, and we get this nice little rundown as to what he did between the movies.
Oh, real quick, before you go any further, that scene that broke us both, we probably shouldn't spoil.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
It's like last week. It was just like, what?
Right. Yeah.
You did what? Oh, all right. It's fucking hilarious, but you know.
I out loud said, no, fucking no, you're not. And they did.
Yes, they did. And of course, when I say the anti-hero from the last movie, I'm of course talking about a possessed carousel unicorn that turns out to be a the perfect soldier. And now we finally get his origin as to why he's the perfect soldier is because he was engineered that way by the Nazis, which, I mean, leave it to the Nazis to make a unicorn, carousel unicorn, into a killer, but they did.
And his origin previous to that, how he was chosen, might be one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, my God. we'll get to that. So we also find out that I think they did tease that at the end of the last one, that he was, going to have a son
Right.
from a woman that he had raped, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
And killed. But I think if I remember right, at the end it showed the little unicorn kind of popping out.
I don't know if he killed her because Robbie's adopted mother didn't know her. I think
Okay.
she said that, so I don't remember. I meant to rewatch the original before watching this one. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I would have loved to have gone back, but we forged ahead here. And so he comes in and visits his son, finally acknowledges his son. Really, I was expecting him to just come in to like kill, adopt the foster mom and just, take off with the son. But instead, yeah, he's starting to get domesticated. He's starting to live this family life with the mom and the son, and take him out to places. And
The, I'll say, protagonist anti-hero, and that the hero part's debatable, is actually becoming an actual hero in this movie.
right, this is totally taking the playbook from the Terminator series, where you have the killer in the first movie, and now suddenly the killer is the hero, because he's up against Nazis. Because even if you're a mass murderer in the
Nazis are still
US,
worse.
Nazis are still worse, right? Especially dark magic Nazis, like this. The other playbook that they're taking from here is, of course, Highlander. But I think we're going to see more of that in future movies. But the and of course, why I believe that is the Nazis that have engineered him or cast their spell or whatever they did, they are still alive in present day US. They've been in hiding, but but through their dark magic, they have been keeping themselves young. and
But they're
uh,
not vampires.
And we got another biter scene that we did not spoil last week. But this
Not
one
as
was matter of
graphic.
fact.
This was
This
off
is matter
camera,
of
at least.
fact, not as graphic, and just sort of like a, well, yeah, what else are you gonna expect from a carousel movie? Whereas the other one kind of like, oh, we're doing all of this, sensitive plot, and then all of a sudden, wait, she did, or not even she, it did what? But here, yeah, it's as the rest of the style is, it's just upfront and like, of course you're going to see this in a carousel movie. They finally, of course, track him down. Well, actually, he just kind of shows up. They really bump into him. They were searching for Duke, our anti-hero here, and they, of course, kidnap his son, and hilarity ensues.
And we actually mean it this time. We
Yeah.
often don't mean that.
Sometimes it's just a figure of speech. Sometimes I really do get a kick or a chuckle or amused at least. But yeah, hilarity.
I just love that he, I mean, I think that they did say that he was created by the Nazis in the last one, but just to actually show the creation process.
Yeah.
And I mean, as ridiculous as the movie is and funny as it is, they turned a mass murdering fuckhead into a legit hero.
Kind of parodying the "You're My Best Friend" song when they're, he's being
I was
the
trying
dad.
to riff on for the title of something on the courtship of Eddie's father, but it didn't quite work.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with the "Wait, Father Knows Best" or "Wait till your father gets home" or whatever.
And the mad scientist who created him, who is now, well, I have soul-sucking vampire in my notes, but they go to great pains to establish that they're not vampires.
Right.
She takes the souls from people to stay young, though. So it's more, it's a magical thing. It's not a technological thing. Loved Duke's opening monologue. When they cut to the president, she takes the guy's soul. Then they cut to Duke in a car. This merry-go-round horse can drive.
Of course. Well, that was the appeal of the first one, was that you thought he was just going to be stabbing everybody with his horn or hoof or whatever, and then it just got more absurd with the weapons he was using.
And this one is actually surprisingly light on the killing, but we still get that progression toward the end.
You know, there's a while where I'm starting to get bored by the types of killings, and then, well, then he rips the arms off a guy.
It was the one before that that got to me. But he has this opening monologue talking about like where he's been since the last movie.
Yeah.
That was just brilliant because it was very matter of fact and very kind of regular Joe from this possessed horse.
And the other funny thing is, this is, we're recording this the day after Norm Macdonald's passing. So last night, before watching this movie, I watched this whole montage of Norm Macdonald doing OJ jokes on SNL. I mean, it's like, it is so absurd how long it goes. And then to turn and watch this movie, and he's doing like an OJ joke. Killed me.
But he has this ridiculously, not ridiculously long, but just kind of absurd opening monologue of, that's just from his regular Joe perspective.
Of course.
And you find out he has this kid that he's never met. He's gonna go meet him. And the adopted mother of his son, who is a puppet unicorn, by the way,
Yes.
reached out to him via Cheep, which is the movie's version of Tweet, because apparently Tweet and Twitter are copyrighted.
Chirper.
Yeah. The app is called Chirper, yeah. Oh, the spit take. Do you remember the setup? I don't remember the setup offhand.
What's that? The
The ridiculously long spit take.
Oh, no, I
But there was something that causes Duke to do a spit take, and
don't.
there are just these two jets of water that come out the side of
Right.
this merry-go-round horse's mouth. And that whole scene with Duke and Robbie's adopted mother, Robbie's his son, really reminded me of Turkey and Christie's dad in Thanksgiving.
Okay.
The good girl's dad, the cop. Yeah. Bob, this is getting pretty damn awkward. Reminded me of that scene a lot.
Every time they showed Chirper, there was an ad for Carousel in it.
Of course.
But I couldn't tell, see what was being, shared with it, Like I couldn't read any of the text on it.
Well,
So I
yeah.
wonder what is in there.
I didn't even notice the ad. I'm not at all surprised it was there,
Oh
but
yeah.
I
Yeah,
didn't
every
catch that.
time someone would show the phone and the app, there was an ad for Carousel, like a banner beneath. Maybe it was just the banner, but I could have sworn it was somebody shared it,
Oh God. Also loved the reference to Arion Mingle. There's also a reference to Only Fascists later. The bad German accents are just hilarious.
They start wearing on you throughout. You're kind of thinking, okay, this is really funny in the beginning. And then after a while, it's kind of okay.
But I just love that they completely faded in and out. The actor who played Klaus just gives up at one point.
Yes.
Lost my voice right in there. I think I caught the director cameo, because he was the pizza guy in the first Carousel.
Okay.
He didn't have a role in this one. But there's a shot of Robbie, a photograph of Robbie with Santa, and I think that was Steve as Santa in the photo.
I could have sworn he had a role in this. I can't remember now.
No, I don't think so. So yeah, I think that was him as Santa in the photograph, not the department store Santa that they take the picture with later.
The unicorn gets in. Mm-hmm. Duke, you know, sneaks his way in.
And I love every time they cut to Duke talking, it's just a carousel horse.
Of course.
Still, yeah. Not moving. There was no effort made to animate him except for a couple of scenes.
Very well, like some moving hooves.
Yeah.
That you see from the off screen kind of thing.
And you never see his mouth move when he's talking. Like, it's right on him. You can hear him talking, but the mouth is stationary. Love that. Also love that Duke's siblings, effectively, his mother, his adopted mother's kids, were at the party in the last movie.
Yes.
Duke killed them all. And there's this whole family drama of, you know, getting to know his son and all of this that's played dead straight.
Right. They tell this with such a straight face.
There's this beautiful, like, father-son montage that is, like, a legit, like, very cheesy old-school father-son montage, except it's Duke and Robbie.
Yeah, it's a carousel horse, a unicorn, and a puppet.
Yeah. And then, of course, they cut away for that for the first kill. Duke murders a Karen.
Yeah.
Who is, like, you know, going off on them for, you know, being these two unicorns in the park together doing the father-son stuff. She's just horrified by them. You know, he tells Robbie to go get him a drink, and he kills her with some shears.
And the shears gore, to the eyes.
And the gore is just spectacular.
Yeah. And they kind of needed that there. It was like kind of an out of left field, you know, unnecessary thing, but they kind of needed something there to break up what was going on.
And that was pretty much the end of that whole montage. And then we get young Hitler.
Oh, boy.
Which is a young boy with a Hitler mustache.
Of course.
And his mother, also with a Hitler mustache. And young Hitler is explaining that how much he loves this particular, you know, unicorn, you know, carousel horse. It happens to be Duke. It's the horse that Duke's spirit is put into.
Yeah.
Because Duke was an actual American soldier who was captured, and his essence was put into this unicorn. And just the juxtaposition of this absurd father-son story that's played dead straight, and this absurd story of these Nazis who are immortal, not vampires. And are just constantly arguing. That's like not 80% of the movie is just back and forth between these two. And I love that it took that departure from the formula. It's not a slasher film.
Right. Plot-wise, it's very similar to last week's
movie. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Where they take this painfully long amount of time about these relationships, only it's people, and you think they're really invested in it. Hmm. And then it's only towards the end that you realize, no. It's the set of craziness. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this one is, too.
Yeah.
Only, of course, you it's absurd from the beginning because it's a carousel unicorn.
Of course. And it's just, I mean, I don't even know if I recommended the last one. I just think this one, I didn't. I gave it a pretty low rating, if I recall. This one is just so much better made, even though there are similar ideas. Klaus's long, unnecessary backstories were hilarious.
I was cool with the first two, and then the third one, even I found myself drifting off.
He's one of the Nazis, and he's doing reconnaissance on Duke, trying to figure out where he is and plan to kidnap Robbie, which is how they're going to lure Duke in to kill him, or to capture him, to recapture him and kind of, you know, bring him back to their side.
Yeah.
But of course, every time Duke questions who he is, asks him anything, Klaus goes on this long, ridiculous backstory, which is how you can tell if someone is lying. If they give more information than is necessary, they're probably lying.
And really, he tells three similar stories. So it would draw more attention that it's the same person. But unfortunately, Duke misses it.
Of course. That's the joke.
Yeah.
One of them being a balloon salesman who right. attempts to sell Robbie so many balloons that they lift him off the ground.
They tried to do the Gonzo from the Muppet movie.
Yeah, yeah. And Duke is, you know, teaching him, you know, about tying knots. And my favorite line, tying things to trucks is the only reason why an adult man needs to use rope. With a big wink to the camera, even though Duke can't wink.
Yeah, that's totally the only reason.
And I got to see, the actor who plays Klaus, I think he's got like one other credit before this. It was like a short. Easily my favorite actor in the movie.
He's yeah, he really hilarious. Goes all in.
Yeah. But this movie is nothing like what I was expecting, but it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I was laughing at the Nazis' incompetence until they captured and started torturing Robbie, and then I started to hate them. It was just this nice turn. You know, like turning Duke into the hero, they finally turn these ridiculous Nazis into actual villains, and it's just this nice, well-timed turn. The pretty pizza tangent was a little weird. Pete's pizza delivery, he ordered the pretty pizza, which has edible glitter on it. And it actually sounded like a proper ad. I had to Google Pete's pizza delivery, pretty pizza. It doesn't, I couldn't find a real thing. So it was a joke, but it reads like it sounds like an actual ad stuck in the middle of the movie.
It is what a unicorn would eat. And I could see people wanting a glitter pizza.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I had to Google it.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder where this was filmed and set, because I did find a Pete's Pizza delivery in Chicago.
There is a Pete's Pizza in Chicago. Probably it's been here for, yeah, it's been here for decades.
Like, but it goes back to
the 50s, I think.
But I think Steve Rudzinski is based in Pittsburgh, so.
Yeah.
So it might have just sounded good.
Yeah.
Or there's a Pete's Pizza delivery there. There's probably Pete's Pizza deliveries everywhere. It's, you yeah. know. Loved the backstory that Otto gave to, you know, how they chose him and, you know, the whole process. But again, I was not prepared for that scene with him and Duke. We're not telling you any more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. that was, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's... Like, a, you know, like Team America, like what?
Because even if you think you know where it's going to go based on us talking about it, you're still not prepared.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then we get to the proper kills. First guy, first Nazi, he takes out with a claw from a claw hammer. I think that he did that in the first movie too.
You know, you expect him to use the other side of the hammer.
The claw goes through easier, I think.
To use the claw, right. Yeah. Good choice.
The second one, my favorite, he wraps one of the Nazis in the Nazi flag and just beats him against the wall. And then we get Klaus's death. Duke just rips his head in half.
Oh, you missed you skipped the arms. Well, I guess I said
the arms guy. I forgot about him, yeah.
Ripped the arms off.
Right.
But yeah, Klaus's was quite a splatter.
Rips his head in half.
not take that off. Rip the head in half.
You like the arms, but you know the Klaus's head getting ripped in half is a close second for me to the
oh right
the flag.
Right. I only brought up the arms earlier because I was kind of bored of the killings. Okay. You know, the one in the flag didn't really do much for you because I mean he's just wrapped in the flag and getting beaten around, and so it's kind of like okay, you know, you see that.
I laughed
and at then. It. Like ho hum, and then suddenly he rips the guy's arms. So I was like, "Whoa, that I don't think I've seen." and then Klaus is like, "Whoa!" Yeah. Like the meme with Geordi LaForge.
Right. Love the fight between Duke and Ilsa, the head Nazi. That just gets utterly ridiculous.
It is, if you're looking for a real like final showdown, there isn't one.
No.
I mean, it's just kind of there's some magic, there's some bad effects, and then it's pretty much over.
Love how long it stayed on Robbie's laser eyes effect.
Yeah,
they just hang on this shot of lasers coming out of Robbie's eyes for just a little bit too long.
Of course.
And then Duke kills Elsa with a rainbow that comes out of his mouth. Fucking love that.
Did they do that in the first one? I can't remember.
I don't think so. Because no, they wouldn't have killed with a rainbow in the first one. He kills he kills the head Nazi with a rainbow. That is perfect. And then she goes full Temple of Doom. Not Temple of Doom, the first one. Razor's of the Lost Ark.
I was thinking more of the terror. It's a butterscotch pudding shy of the terror.
Yeah. It's just
that I think they were going back for that one.
It's that head melting from the first Raiders. From Raiders.
Yeah.
And I still just can't get over Duke driving. That amuses me way more than it should.
So there's a couple post-credit
scenes. Mid-credit and a post-credit scene.
Yeah. I'm not sure I really get the mid-credit one.
I don't either. There's just this kind... There's guy who... Well, first off, at the end, what's her name? The mother. Do you know her name offhand? I forgot her name. You don't either. Robbie's mother, his adopted mother, her husband comes back.
That's the post, yeah.
No, that was right at the end of the movie, before the credits. He comes back after like 14 years. And asks, you know, how were the kids? The kids were killed in the last movie. And he knows nothing about Robbie, who is staying with the mother because Duke is too dangerous to be around. And then we get the mid-credit scene. Someone with a gun and a bunch of, like, and basically a murder board saying, you chose the wrong weapon. I don't get that.
Yeah.
What was the post-credit scene?
I thought that was the post-credit scene was the one with the with him coming back.
Was it?
With the father returning.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought that was right before the credit. No, you're right. That was the very end. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that pretty much sets up...
he's got like a 14-year-old beard.
Right. The last thing before the credits reason. Was Duke driving off, right?
Yeah.
Then we get you chose the wrong weapon, and then we get the father coming back. And so that all sets up this part three, which I can't wait for. I will, of course, be contributing if he tries to crowdsource it or crowdfund it.
And who knows how many, I guess that leads us to sequels and remakes, doesn't it?
Well, this is part two. Part one is a fucking masterpiece. This is a fucking masterpiece. I can only assume we're getting a part three if Steve can raise the funds.
Well, I mean, he's set up... a whole series here because they've implied that there are other creations out there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. He could just leave it at a trilogy where he's fighting them all off in the next one.
Well, I got the impression Duke is on his way to find the others.
Yeah.
The other, items that are like him. And then we have the father coming back. I don't know if that's going to be a thing, or if that was just a gag at the end. And then we have that you chose the wrong weapon thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was about at all. I think I'll have to rewatch the first one.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe a reference to the first one.
To see if that one comes back.
On to brains?
On to brains.
Like the first one, this is an easy 5.
Like, this has a lot of the same weird oomph as the original. But, like, the German accent, the Reich jokes, and the fake life stories can kind of wear a little thin. But there's still a very fresh, absurd movie here, though. And they try to tell the story with such a straight face. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely recommending it with 4 brains.
All right. And what have you learned?
We learned that sometimes you just got to go storm that beach. I mean... Maybe not literally, but it just sounds cool.
Yeah. And I learned that everyone is different in some way. that's it for Carousel 2. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing The Nowhere Inn. We were going to do a Norm Macdonald tribute with Dirty Work next week, but Annie's movie is coming out on Friday, and we have to review it ASAP. We'll get to the Norm tribute after that, and then finally Conan, as long as nothing else gets in the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, we never really did come up with a Michael Williams tribute, but...
That's true. We'd have, he was, well, we'll have to look into it.
I think he's more of a TV guy, too.
Same. If it wasn't for Dirty Work, I don't think we'd have one for Norm.
Yes, right.
Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.